Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. I love that. I love that introduction. Yeah. You know why? Because it reminds me of why I started to do this gig in the first place. I want to thank all of you for joining us here at the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. And, you know, there's some days that you wake up, and I'm sure I'm not talking just about myself. Some days you wake up, you kind of shake your head, and you think, oh my gosh, how did I get in this mess? How did my life turn out to be what it is? How does my body have so many ailments? And I am so at a loss for what to do about it. Now, this is not just me, maybe, or maybe it is just me, but I will tell you, the statistics show it is not. The statistics would show that we have a rise, at least in this country, of levels of disease and illness, and incredible rise. Everything from obesity to autoimmune diseases to Alzheimer's to, I mean, you just name it, diabetes, type 1, type 2. And the question then becomes, what the heck is up with this? Now, not all of us ask questions like that, certainly not my guest. But for those of us that may have been wallowing around there a little bit in our story, kind of at that place where we just don't know where to turn, maybe we've given up, this show is for you. And if you're not at that place and you're at a place of bliss and you just want to become more blissful, this show's for you as well. I want to tell you right out of the gate, this is a live call-in show. We are expecting you to call in and get some amazing help today. Our toll-free number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Most of you love to use our instant feedback system, and I announced it earlier on the show earlier today. You can do that by popping your question in here. Go to thedrpatshow.com on the right-hand side, ask a question, or go to transformationtalkradio.com and ask a question. Liam Phillips is joining me here today. You know, and this is really what we're going to explore. What if you could just heal for the joy of it? What about that? What if incurable was just a point of view? These are some of the questions that my guest, Liam Phillips, has been posing to people. Why? Because he's gone through the experience of it himself. You know, I had a mentor a long time ago that said to me, look it, you really cannot take somebody through something, some healing, some experience if you haven't experienced at least a part of it yourself. Well, after 10 years in an industry, after much ado, born in England, became terminally ill, searched for 3 years for a cure. Probably we'll get to hear some of the modalities he checked or didn't check. But Liam is someone that got to the point in his life where he didn't think he was going to live. You know, got to the point in his life where he was ready to say goodbye to his family, to his friends, because he was incurable. But something changed. What was it that changed? Was it his perspective? Did they find a miracle cure for him? What was it that changed? Why is it that he is leading out there in the world as one of the top people that you want to connect with to help you today understand and discover why our bodies are unique, what we are incredibly capable of doing, and how and what some of the tools are that he's learned that he's sharing with countless people? Get ready for today's show, Curing the Incurable with Liam Phillips. Liam, thank you for joining me. It's great to have you on the show.
Wow, thank you. What a great intro. I'm getting really excited here. My body is jumping around with joy. How does it get any better than that?
I got to tell you, it doesn't get any better than that. We're going to talk a lot about a few things, but I want to ask you, you know, a question, because we're going to talk about thoughts and we're going to talk about feelings here for part of the show. And as a matter of fact, I already have a question from the audience for you, but I've got to ask you, you know, when you're handed that diagnosis, right? And I'm sure that you went to multiple doctors and all of them said to you, you know what, dude, you have got an incurable disease. You know, you are like, count your days, go put your things in order. I got to ask you, what were you thinking?
Well, there were two streams of thought that were going through and feelings. The first was, this is not happening to me. And I went into that resistance and that reaction. And the other one was, I went into sort of more like alignment and agreement with them and went into complete shutdown. And the feelings of woe and why is this happening to me, and almost like grief and despair and all of those other wonderful things that we try to avoid most of our lives all of a sudden came up to the surface. So it was a very, very intense time, and I'm sure that everybody has been in that intensity at some point in their life. And it feels, and quote unquote, I'm using that word, it feels like there is no way out of the hole. No matter what you do, where you go, who you talk to, as soon as you say, oh, I've got an autoimmune disease, or I'm in the top 20% that this kills this, this disease kills you, people actually start to connect with you in a way and look at you from the point of view of you as a person with a disease. And then they start to, you start to pick up all of those projections, all of those thoughts that that person has about you, and that seems to fuel it even more. So you go to another doctor and you get another diagnosis, or you're looking at trying to get a different diagnosis, and already they have the information in front of them that you have a disease, and already they have gone into categorizing you into that disease. So again, it seems to put another nail in the coffin. And so for many years, for 3 years, I searched for something different, but always came back to these thoughts and feelings and emotions that didn't seem to allow me to expand anymore, to create anything different. It kept me in the loop, and it kept me in that story. And it was that story, the thoughts and feelings that held that story in place, which created more of the pain and suffering, and hence more of the disease. Cute, huh?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. It reminds me of a dog I once had, and it's an interesting phenomenon to just watch a dog chase its tail.
Yes.
It goes round and round and round and round, and it continues to chase its tail, even after it knows it can't really get it. And, you know, what's interesting about what you've said is we go from a single bit of information, just that one little bit of information that you got. This is what I heard you say. And before you're done, if we allow ourselves, we have an entire story, maybe an epic movie about what that disease is, the epic disease of our lives. And it's almost impossible, though, Liam, once you've gone down that path, right, to actually turn that around. There's so much evidence for your own demise.
Well, that's exactly right. In this reality, that's how it works. And that's where the word incurable comes in. And it's sort of like, even if it's not a disease, even if it's a relationship breakup, or you've lost your house, or you've lost your money, or whatever it is, it feels like it's incurable. It feels like it's impossible. Mm-hmm. I was walking down the street the other day in Brisbane, where I live in Australia, and there was a billboard out the front, and it had a saying on it, and it said, impossible. Well, the very word has I am, which is I'm possible. So it's like the words that we the words that we use can actually change how we're thinking and feeling in our daily lives. So every time that we start to go into that despair or those feelings of, oh, I can't do this, or I can't change this, or this is impossible, or my life is incurable, or the disease is incurable, what do we create with that? Do we create more expansiveness and more possibilities and opportunities for change, or do we create more of that story of impossibility and incurability?
Yeah, we pile it on. I mean, you know, a word that, you know, was simply a word now becomes a mountain of emotions which have thoughts on them like tentacles, you know, and it becomes sort of this web that we create for our own limitation. And I get totally what you're saying, because honestly, I know what you're talking about. I've been there. And I think our listeners have been there too, you know, but what can we trust if we cannot trust our thoughts and our feelings? And this is really where this is really a cool conversation. It's trying to figure out what we can trust, what we can believe in, and then having the tools to figure that out.
Yeah. One of the tools that I'd really like to have a look at today mm-hmm. is working with these thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And one of the tools that I really got from Access Consciousness was to ask who these thoughts and feelings actually belong to. Nobody had ever asked me that. You know, I even went to the doctors at one stage and said, is there any psychological, you know, is there any psychologist that I could go and see? I didn't have a lot of money, so I couldn't pay for it. But they weren't even really willing to have a look at that sort of side of things. So, and nobody ever actually asked me, oh, you're feeling depressed. Oh, is that actually yours or is that somebody else's?
Mm.
So one of the things I found that when I was sick, all my friends found out that I was sick. And, you know, my wife knew that I was sick. My family knew I was sick. And the people I work with knew that I was sick. And then I was starting to have these thoughts in my head going, oh, I think I'm going to die. And I'd wake up with that thought in my head, and all day long it would get more and more and more and more stronger, or had more potency to it. And as I bought that more and more, so my body started to shrivel more and more as well and became more diseased. And it wasn't until somebody actually asked, well, whose thought is that you're having, that you're actually dying? And then I had a look at that and I went, wow. I found out later on that my wife used to drive to work every morning because she used to be my primary caregiver. And she had a full-time job. She was looking after me. I literally had to be carried to the toilet every day.
Wow.
So, you know, multiple times, 24 times a day sometimes. And she was cleaning up. We were doing juices. We were doing all these sorts of things. She was going to work going, I hope he's dead when I get home because I can't deal with this anymore.
Mm.
Like being a little bit psychic, a little bit aware, being sensitive, I was picking up all these projections, all these projected thoughts that were being projected at me and creating that more and more myself in my life and in my body. So one of the tools that I started to use was every time that I started to go into the panic or the despair or the bleh, I'd ask, who does this thought, feeling, or emotion belong to? And then I would return it to sender with all the consciousness of the universe attached. Now, I know that sounds really simple and really easy, and you're right. It is. What if life could be simple and easy? What if it didn't have to be hard? What if we could change disease with ease? Again, that disease is one of those words that's already got ease built into it.
Mm-hmm.
So what if we could change it with ease? And this was one of the fundamental tools that I used, and I used it for many months, and I still do it because sometimes, as you say, I still wake up feeling like the whole world is on my shoulders. So this tool, who does it belong to? Very simple to use, very easy to use. And don't just try it once, you know, oh, who does that belong to? Oh, that didn't work.
Right.
You know, you might do it 20 times on a thought or a feeling that's coming up. Oh, I'm dying. Oh, I'm dying. Okay, who does that belong to? Return it to sender with all the consciousness of the universe attached to it.
This is really, I mean, a fascinating conversation you and I are having. And, you know, it comes up in light of a couple of situations that have recently happened to me. It's so funny. You know, my producer said to me, you know, I looked at, you know, your lineup this week and you're going to be talking with Liam. And I said, yeah. And, you know, and she said, well, wow, there are no mistakes, are there? And I said, well, what do you mean? And I said, look at all of the things around disease and illness that are showing up in your life. You know, and what she was referring to for me is, you know, I just found out my sister has an inoperable brain tumor. And, you know, I talked to her the other day, Liam, and I'll tell you, if you were to talk to her, you would never know that there is a single thing wrong with her. She is about as happy as you can be. She's grateful for everything. And it's on the one hand, it's sad. And on the other hand, you know, I'm privy to so much information, you know, this conversation with you, that I only wish there was a way in my realm to help her. Can you see what I'm saying, the dilemma we get caught up in? You know, she's been to the doctor, they tried radiation, and he said, there's no more I can do for you. So she goes home. And she goes home with the thought, there is no more that we can do for you. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That wasn't her thought.
No, that's not her thought. There's a lot of energy going on around that. One of the things that I found, and I work with carers, I work with professional carers and also with loved ones. And one of the things that I found is if you can get out of the story being a carer or a loved one with somebody who has a disease, you actually don't add to the disease. My father-in-law, when I was sick, he never bought the sickness that I was creating once, and he'd make things very light and very easy. And when I was around him, I actually felt better because he was one of the few people in my life that didn't make it significant. So when you're in that position as a carer or a loved one, or you know somebody who does have a disease, and you yourself start to go down into that, or, you know, I hope they're okay. What's going on? Will they survive the night? Or whatever it is, what if you actually ask that question that I was talking about earlier, mm-hmm. like, does that belong to? So that you don't actually add fuel to the fire, if you like, because you may be the one person in their life that doesn't buy what everybody else is projecting, that doesn't hold all of that story in place. And you being you may be able to actually change something in that person. For me, that's the definition of being a healer. You know, if you don't buy into all of the other people's projections and thoughts and feelings, including the person who's sick, you can be there with them and not add fuel to that fire, not add all the heaviness to it, and be the space where something different can show up.
Right.
I don't know if people can hear that, but it's sort of like, be you and change the world. Be you and change somebody else's disease. Or be you and at least give them the possibility of having something different show up in their life.
I got a question that came through, and I think this is a really – I mean, this is spot on. And, boy, it's a long one, so just bear with me, if you will. Hi, Dr. Pat. Thank you for letting us know of this show, because I told you, Liam, I announced this earlier today. Thank you for letting us know of this show. I'm sending you this from my phone. Wow. Okay. I was just diagnosed with a very debilitating you have to pardon me. I'm reading like little shortcuts in words here, Liam. A very debilitating form of arthritis. As a matter of fact, my doctor says it is the worst kind. I know that I have been working this through in natural ways and have never bought into it, but I saw my bones deteriorating. He's put me on some medication, and I want to get well, but yet I'm in so much pain. Can I still believe what your guest is talking about parallel to taking the medication? This is a good question.
Yeah, that's a
this
really
is
cool.
a good question. And this is coming from Jan in, I think that is Illinois. That's the abbreviation for Illinois. Good question. Let's take this one apart. I think I know what she's saying, Liam. It sounds like a situation where you go to the doctor. You know you've got something wrong with you. You go to the doctor. You're probably getting a checkup or probably haven't seen him in a while. All of a sudden, you know you're there because you feel worse, and then you get the worst news you can possibly get. And what I think she's saying is can I do what you're saying, Liam, and still take the medication and still believe that I'm not sick? This is a really good question, huh?
Cool.
Wow.
Thanks for sending that in, Jen.
Woo.
I never look at anything quite black and white. I always come from it from a different angle. So what I would look at there is the word belief was a very strong energy on it. So I look at the energy of things, and part of the question there was, can I believe that this is actually possible, that I could actually use these tools?
Mm-hmm.
For me, a belief is something that I don't really want to sell you these tools. I would like you to experience these tools for yourself. So mm-hmm. you have your own awareness. I'm talking directly to Jen, really.
Yes.
Have your own awareness of actually what works for you, and what doesn't work for you. So it's not about buying my point of view. In fact, please don't buy my point of view, because if it's not true for your body,
mm-hmm.
bought and somebody else's point of view and made it greater than you and your body. And that's what we tend to do when we go to the doctors too, because I mean, doctors, they've studied for what, 6 years, and then they've worked in a hospital for 4 or 5 years, and they have a lot of information about the bodies, and we give them a lot of power by going, okay, doc, fix me. And what if we actually took back some of that power and actually used the doctor to get the information, to get the awareness that we could actually have around that particular thing? In this case, it's arthritis. But don't actually ever buy another person's point of view as real, because once you have that answer set in concrete in front of you, that's when it's really difficult to start to try to change it. You've got to get mm-hmm. a jack. And you know, blah, 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 blah. And that's much fun, you know. It's sort of like, so I think I talked about this last week, last month in the last show, is about knowing what's true for you. So when somebody says something to you and it feels heavy, then you know that there's some sort of a lie attached to it. And when it feels light, you know it's true for you. But it's in that 10 seconds, because it can change.
Uh-huh.
When you go to the doctor in this case, and he's got your information in front of you and you've already been diagnosed with arthritis, he's already going to be looking from that point of view. Now, that's not a wrongness. That's just the way it works. So if you can stay in the question and ask questions and see what feels heavy and what feels light, so the doctor may say, okay, It seems like you've got rheumatoid arthritis and it's mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Okay. So you can, and that feels light. Okay. So you know it's true for you in that 10 seconds. So what you need to ask then is, okay, so what awareness is that and how can I use that? So how can I use that to my advantage? So then you could actually start talking with your body. Okay, body, we know that it's rheumatoid arthritis. How can we change that? And actually have a conversation with your body and then forget about it. Go and have a cup of tea and let the universe work out the particulars. But as soon as you buy that person's point of view or their projected thought at you that you've got arthritis, you've then stuck it in this reality and you've stuck it in your body.
Right. Yeah. What I hear you saying, and please correct me because this is really beautiful. This is amazing. What I hear you saying is, look, you're going to have this conversation. It may be cancer. It may be arthritis, just like my sister. Right. And you're given that conversation. But in that moment, there may be a lightness that you feel, right, Liam, from finally saying, oh, my gosh. All right. Now I have a sense of what it is. What can we do about it? And then you start to have a dialogue with your doctor, physician, naturopath, whatever that is, whoever it is. And as the information comes towards you, for example, it sounds like in Jan's case that her doctor laid out a protocol of different treatments for her. So is it in that moment as he's talking or she's talking, because I don't know, as they're talking to us and they're starting to say, well, I want to start you with this, I want to do this, can we in that moment check whether that feels heavy or light? You know what I'm saying? Rather than judge what it may be that they're giving us based on somebody else's point of view. You see what I'm saying? If my naturopath says to me, and this is what my naturopath said to me, Liam, because you mentioned this, I'm going to bring it up. My naturopath said to me the other day, I want you to juice. I want you to start juicing for a week. I want you to go get the juicer, get the vegetables, I'm telling you, I couldn't get off my chair. I felt so heavy. And as much as I've heard how good that is, it just didn't feel right for me. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. But as you say, you don't have to go into the judgment of this heavy and light thing. It's not not about judging at all.
Right.
It's
right.
Stepping out of judgment, because it's the judgments that hold this, the polarity of disease within our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have any problem with somebody taking drugs if that's what it takes and that's what it's like for them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, with regards to the drugs that I took, mm-hmm. I had such a point of view that drugs were a wrongness and I could fix this by using alternative methods. I've got a frog in my throat. Who does that belong to?
Yeah, it probably belongs to all of us listening to you.
Jumping at the bit, wanting to say their bit. And when I had that point of view, guess what? The drugs didn't work for me.
Oh.
So I actually got over my point of view that I could actually receive the drug. So, Jan, if you're listening right now, if you listen to this later on, Have a look. Do you actually have a point of view or a thought in place or a belief that taking drugs is a wrongness? Because if you do, then you won't be able to receive from the drug in the first place, and it will be more of a difficult to find a drug that actually works with your body. So then you might want to give up that point of view and destroy and uncreate that point of view. And it can be that simple, just to destroy and uncreate it. And then go, okay, cool. So, and then I have a conversation with your body. Body, do you require this drug? And if it feels light and expansive, then okay, cool. You know that it's true for you in that 10 seconds. And ask every day, yeah? And include your doctor in all of this, you know? Ask them some questions around like, okay, well, you've given me this dosage. Why have you given me such a high dosage? Is this a high dosage? Is this a low dosage? So that you never go into resistance and reaction of the doctor or alignment and agreement. He's actually on your team. Believe it or not, the doctors out there, most of them, they're healers and they want to help you. So ask those questions, and you can actually get more information and more awareness.
Wow.
And actually become You actually become a participant within the healing process rather than just going, hey, doc, give me a drug. I want to fix this. It's more like, hey, doc, what can we do about this and how can we change it? You know, and when you actually ask those questions, many of the doctors out there, and if you find one that isn't, then change your doctor. Yeah. Many of the doctors out there will get, wow, this person is actually interested in their body, actually interested in changing, you know, and it's going to change their world. Because so many of those doctors out there, they just have people come to them and they come, fix me, doc. You know, what energy is that? It's like there's no contribution there. There's no gifting and receiving. It's just like, fix me, doc, and that's it. What if you went with, hey, doc, what could you do with this? Or with your naturopath, hey, that's really cool, but my body is sort of like, ooh, it feels really heavy. What is that? Can we change that?
I love it. Let's take a short break. Lee and Phillip's joining me here today. When we come back, we're going to give you lots of information about how you can connect with Lee personally. We'll tell you a little about the private sessions that he does. And we'll talk about, you know, our body that hears everything, what we say to it, what we create. And we also are going to give you some tips. But, you know, this idea of projections of other people and figuring out what is true for ourselves is the core of today's show. I've got a couple of more instant feedback questions that are going to come your way, Liam. I want to thank you all. Jan, I know you sent in a follow-up, and I'll make sure I get that on. For those of you that want to call in directly, 888-627-6008, go ahead and do that, 888-627-6008. When we come back, we'll give you lots of information about Liam. We'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show.
Just stop what you are thinking right now and ask yourself, if I could have anything I desired, what would it be? Now expand that energy beyond anything you have ever imagined. That energy, that is you. What if you could have access to that all the time? Curing the incurable are for those that desire a different possibility with their life and their body. Does that excite your molecules? Well, check out Liam's website at liamphillips.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Did you know most coffee, not all, have hidden dangers lurking in it? A recent investigation into grocery store coffee revealed three dangers. First, modern coffee farming produces dangerously high acidity and caffeine. Second, mold content in grocery store coffee contains dangerous toxins. Yuck! Third, government agencies have found grocery store coffee containing 400 times the carcinogens allowed in drinking water. You will be relieved to know that Camino Island Coffee Roasters takes the worry out of your sip of coffee. Imagine how your coffee tastes without mold, carcinogens, or poison. Get your free coffee report, The 5 Hidden Dangers Lurking in Your Coffee Cup. Visit NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com to get your free copy now. That's NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. And check out Camino Island Coffee Roasters.
Gratitude asks abundance, tell me, who are you? I would like to meet you and get to know you better. Gratitude responds, I am that which offers you the ability to multiply yourself according to your desires. I am that which sees you everywhere I lay my glance. I am that which opens wide the arms to you so that you can express your nature constantly. Gratitude is on a mission to create unlimited abundance by allowing it to circulate through you. Wouldn't it be wonderful to cultivate this unlimited creative potential every single day? Stimulate the energy of the essence of gratitude in your life by expressing your own desires of abundance and placing them in our 7 Spheres of Gratitude origami box, which emanates powerful vibrations that transform your life in health, creativity, wealth, and enriched relationships. Visit our Gratitude Living Boutique at explorationgratitude.com.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
Have you ever wanted to join a yoga class, yet felt self-conscious or simply didn't have the time? Now you can bring live Kundalini yoga into your home with KRI-certified Dr. Ann Taylor. You will learn a scientific technology of movement, mantra, meditation, and breathing techniques designed to balance your mind, body, and spirit. Sign up today for our free newsletter and receive your first class free. Visit Ann with an E, Taylor.com.
Oh, what a great show, everyone. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By. My really super special guest, Liam Phillips, joining me here today, Curing the Incurable. Yeah, that's exactly what this show is about. And apparently we've gotten the attention of quite a few listeners. Jan, thank you for your follow-up. I want to thank you so much for letting us really share a bit of your journey. Jan's follow-up question, Liam, actually it's a comment to you, Liam, is thank you so much for clarifying the medication piece. I was so afraid to take the medication based on what other people say about it, but it doesn't feel heavy to me, Liam. Is that what you mean?
Well, that's really cool. That tool empowers you, Jan, to you can use that every day that you take it. It's sort of like ask that question, is it, body, would you like this today? Would you like this in this 10 seconds? You can always ask again in another 10 seconds. This is the beauty of questions. You never have to come to a conclusion. What I found, like taking vitamin tablets or whatever, is that some days my body likes it and some days it doesn't, and it will take the vitamin actually when it requires it rather than when I've been told that I should be having it, and it seems to work better that way for me personally. But then I have a pretty good communion with my body, and I've built that up over several years, and it's continuing to expand. And so all these tools are like that I'm giving to you are ways in which you can make a greater communion or connection with your body, that later on when you do have these difficult things come up in your life, quote unquote difficult, you can use these tools and make the change with more ease.
Well, thank you, Liam. You know, let's take a minute and go to the telephones. I believe we have someone calling in. Who do we have on the line?
Hi, this is Linda.
How can we help you today?
Hello?
Thank you for calling in. Can you hear us okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, Liam.
Great.
Hey, Linda. How you been?
I have a question, and I'm not sure that I'm understanding completely, so I'm gonna tell you what the situation is and how I could have done something different. My mother was in the hospital, and she had a bladder infection, and she was very, very sick. And what ended up happening, to make a long story short, is that we brought her home. And because we brought her home, I was in the belief that she wasn't going to make it. And I think that that's where she was, that she was tired of all the things that were going on with her and the treatments and the cancer and the heart and all that stuff. So if we had believed, my brother, my sister, and I had believed that she would be okay, is that what you're talking about in believing that the person, okay, they have a problem right now and they're ill, but if we had believed that she would be okay, that things would have been different?
That's a really good question.
Did that make any sense?
Mm-hmm. that's to me.
did your mom pass on?
Yes. Okay. My mother did pass.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing of it is that we had, she was in rehab and they were working with her and she was actually doing the things that she needed to do, which, you know, we were all excited about because she was getting her strength back. But then the next day that we went in to see her, she wasn't able to move. She wasn't able to walk. And, the hospital, the rehab suggested that we consider getting hospice for her. And hospice belief is in making somebody comfortable. But if we had maybe fought that belief of not making her comfortable but getting her well versus making her comfortable for her to pass, and like maybe this is not something you can answer. I don't know. I'm feeling like I should have done more or should have done something different, and that's why I guess I'm asking the question. In my belief.
Could I ask a question?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah. Okay. So my question is, have you gone to the wrongness of you about your mother's passing at all?
To the wrongness?
Do you blame yourself?
That's a really good question because yes, I believe that, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, and thank you.
I keep asking the question. Go ahead.
Thank you for being so vulnerable, especially on radio. It's because that part of that vulnerability will actually create more of the healing process for you. So, right at the beginning, when you asked this question, you were talking about you had these thoughts that she wasn't going to make it. And if you ask that question like, oh, whose thought is this? And you knew it was hers because she didn't want to go on any longer. When you actually ask a question like that and you get the awareness, oh, it's not mine, you can return it to sender with all the consciousness of the universe attached. And then you could actually change things by going, okay, well, how can I make this more easy for the person that's going through this? And more easy for me. So one of the things that occurred when my stepfather died recently was that I knew he was going to go. He had about a week to go. And everybody was sort of like in denial of it and all of that sort of stuff. And it was really, really heavy. And I was buying everybody else's points of view around it. Oh, and my mother's, oh, I should be doing something more. I should be doing this. Oh, and if only we had done that, and if only we had done this, and only we got to the doctors earlier, we could have, you know, done something different. And it was really impacting on me, and I was starting to contract and feel very heavy and going into blaming others. And it wasn't really very light and expansive for me or for anybody around me. And as soon as I recognized that, like with that question that I just asked you, if you've gone into blame, you recognize that, then you can start to make a difference for yourself and expand. So what I did was I made a demand that I would not buy any of that at all as a reality and start to expand and be everything that I could be and not beat myself up for doing anything wrong or anything right. So would you be willing to give up beating yourself up that you didn't do everything that you could possibly do?
Yes, I'd be willing to do that. But it's very difficult because, and based on what you said about, you know, your belief and believing that the person is not in the shape that they're in, that you're believing that they can be better, that's where I'm struggling because I keep thinking if I had done something more, I would have been able to keep her alive, and
but
I didn't do that.
Ruth, did she really want to stay alive, or did she want to go?
She wanted to go.
She wanted to go. Cool. So it's sort of like honored that by making her comfortable in that process. So would you acknowledge that, just how brilliant you really be?
Well, I have to say that, you know, with the hospice and I was giving her the medication to make her comfortable, and I finally was able to say to her, it's okay to go. Mm-hmm. Even though I really didn't feel that way, I knew that that's what she needed to hear, and I told her that, but it's still a thought of, I mean, I even called the doctor twice after she passed, and I said, what could I have done different to make her be okay? And he said, you did everything you could possibly do.
Everywhere.
But when I hear you say...
That's everywhere where you're going to the rest of you, and that will hold this energy in place for longer. So that, and that's not a wrongness, but if you're willing to actually give that up, then you can possibly have a different possibility for you. Would you like that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So absolutely.
I'm going to do something weird and wacky now. Is that okay with you guys? I'm going to use the clearing statement.
Yes, Linda, are you ready?
I'm good for wacky stuff, yes.
Wacky stuff. Cool. So everywhere where you've got to the wrongness of this situation, everywhere where you blamed your mother for passing, and any of those other emotions, because they're not light, are they? They're heavy, so we know that they're a lie. Would you now be willing to destroy and uncreate all of that everywhere where you've bought that?
Yes.
Cool. Thank you. So now I'm going to do the clearing statement. Good, bad, right, wrong, pop, popcorn, iron, short, boys, and beyonds. So one of the things is that you want to have a look at the words that you're using, because they lock up your reality. Yeah. And so you use the words suffering, and it's very difficult for me to change this. When you say it's very difficult for me to change that, what are you creating in your life? More ease or more difficulty?
More difficulty.
Yeah. So would you be willing to be a word wizard and check what's coming out of your mouth and what's coming out of your head? Yes?
I'm willing to do that. Yeah.
Cool. And it's just, all you need is the willingness, okay? The willingness is the first step. So anything that does allow that to occur with total ease. Hello, pussycat. Sorry, I've just got this beautiful pussycat sitting outside. He's contributing to this. Would you be willing to destroy and uncreate all of that?
Yes.
Thank you. Good, bear, right, wrong, pop, popcorn, eyes, short, boys, meows. Now expand. Don't contract. Keep expanding out. So does that feel any heavier, lighter, or the same? Or is there any change occurring with the energy for you?
Actually, I felt a little lighter. I don't know what you did with all those things that you just said.
Yeah.
But
now I might
actually, I do feel lighter.
I brought the pussycat in for that, because it's like, it's just so amazing. Just as I was doing that clearing, he came, he sat. We did the clearing, everything expanded, got lighter, and then he moved on.
Wow.
What if you be like that?
Really?
Pussycat? Yeah? Really? Really?
Yeah.
Beautiful black cat. Gray cat. So everything that is sort of like everywhere where you make the story, like pussycats, do they actually have a story going on? The only story is pet me or feed me, yeah? Okay. But they don't make anything significant. And it's when we make these things significant that hold that energy in place. So what if you could be more like the pussycats and the dogs that don't really have the stories or the heaviness of those thoughts, feelings, and emotions that we prize so highly? Would you be willing to perceive, know, be, and receive rather than think, feel, and emote?
Yes, I think I would, because that would be easier.
I think I would. See, is that a little bit of a giggle in your world there? Was that a little bit of lightness? What was that?
It was a giggle,
yes,
and she's laughing
was.
Now.
Yes, it was. Yes. Because that's very true. That's very true what you said.
Yeah. Well, it's true for you because it's light for you, yeah? Someone else, it might be a lie, yeah. But for you, it's true. So how cool is that? And it's sort of like thoughts, feelings, and emotions are the lower vibrations of perceiving, knowing, being, and receiving. So when you're having an emotion of grief, for example, if you were able to actually just perceive it or just be with it and not judge it as a wrongness, it would probably just go poof. Or if you have a feeling, and you know a feeling comes and it goes, yeah, it doesn't stick around for yeah. long. It might stick around for maybe a day or two at the longest, but then it goes. Well, that's what the higher vibration of that is, a perception. So when you go into a feeling, instead of going, oh, I feel terrible, which is an instruction to your body to feel terrible, what if you went to, oh, whose feeling am I perceiving here? Because it's not yours. And return it to sender with all the consciousness of the universe attached to it. You see, 98% of your thoughts, feelings, and emotions are not yours. They're what you're picking up. And when you go to the hospice, when you go to the hospital, how many people are there are joyful and happy? Lots, little, or almost none?
Right.
Almost none, yeah? So
probably
someone
not.
Who's sensitive like you, as soon as you walk into one of those places, it's like you walk into that heaviness. And if you buy those thoughts, feelings, and emotions as yours, then you start to create the story and the pain and the suffering within your life and your body. So anywhere where you've locked that into your body, will you give that up now and be willing to dissipate it?
Mm.
Linda?
That's really good, yes.
Yes.
Would you be willing?
Yes.
Yes, yes, cool. Okay. So everything that doesn't allow you for that to occur with total ease, because we don't want you running to the toilet 5 minutes now having diarrhea or vomiting or something, would you now be willing to destroy and uncreate all of that?
Absolutely.
You good bear up, run, pop, pop, and I foot short boys and girls. For you, what I get for you right now is that you might like to go it's summertime where you are, yeah? So you might like to go out into the sun. It's evening time now, but just go out into the sun. Maybe stick your feet in the grass, take your shoes off, and just feel the sun on your body, or go for a little paddle, or get out in there in nature, and just expand into that space that nature is, and just allow any of those thoughts, feelings, and emotions that you've locked into your body, into the cells of your body, just to dissipate with ease. And any thoughts or feelings that come up, just ask, who does that belong to? Return it to sender with all the consciousness of the universe attached to it. Now, only do that if it's light for you. If it's heavy for you, then ask some more questions.
What do you think? How does that sound?
Well, actually, that's very interesting that you said that, because I did that tonight. I actually went out and I was working in the yard and cutting trees and bushes and raking and doing the nature kind of thing, but working at the same time. And it didn't feel heavy. It felt actually very light doing it. It wasn't a lot of heaviness around it. So I need to do that again tomorrow.
Well, ask the question, because it may be that you have to do something different tomorrow. Your energy may be required somewhere else, or in order to get the same sort of expansiveness, you may have to do something different. So is it the gardening that you would like today, or is it something else? So if you get something else, ask some questions. What would you like?
Uh-huh.
That's one of the things that I used to do with meditation. Is when people said, oh, I had this amazing meditation and I got to this really great space. And I go, oh, how long ago was that? Oh, 7 years ago. And they haven't been able to get back to that space, and yet they've been doing the meditation every day. It's because you have become that space now. Now you have to ask a different question. Now you can expand into something different and you can follow the energy to what it is that you and your body requires for the next expansion, for the next step.
Wow. Thank you so much for calling in. Will you promise to check in with us next time Liam is on, or check in with him personally?
Absolutely.
And let him know how you're doing? Boy, you sound like a different person.
I feel different. I don't feel as heavy as I felt before.
Wow.
So thank you so much. This was great. This was absolutely great.
Well, let me give you Liam's information. Liam, I cannot believe how quickly this time has gone by, but boy, it sounds like you really saved a life here tonight, maybe many more. Why don't we give out your website, let folks know how to find out more about you.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's www.liamphillips.com, or I've just got the new domain name. CuringTheIncurable.com. I've been asking for it for 5 years, and I just got it. So yes, CuringTheIncurable.com, and on there, I've got this. We didn't get round to it again. It doesn't matter. 10 tips to create more of a communion with your body. And what I was asking some questions this morning, and what I came up was with that. We require a telecall about these 10 tips. So I'm going to do a free telecall for anybody on the Dr. Pat show. So you can just go to that www.curingtheincurable, and it's right on the front page. As soon as you sign up for the free 10 tips, I'll be putting you on for the free telecall, which is in mid-September. And then you can get your questions together, and we can actually start to change some of what is locking you guys up with these 10 tips. And they're amazing 10 tips.
I love it. Liam, thank you so much. I have a feeling you're going to be hearing from our caller here one-on-one. Thank you, Liam. Thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on. What a great show. If you've missed any part of this, please listen to the archive. We'll see you next time on the Dr. Pat Show.
Soapboxes way too high, overgrown. You can barely see the ground or touch the sky. Your high horse is taken off and left to you, nowhere to be found. Better off dead, or so you said. But don't worry, we all fall down somehow.
Someday, not somehow, not maybe, we're gonna make it out alright, just not right now.
And speak well of a stranger's soul, for you never know when it's your last step, final breath. Throwing your gypsy dance on curtain call. Take your last bow. That's all you're gonna get from me.
Well, I got.